Are you buzzing with excitement?
Yeah, me too. Maybe less coffee tomorrow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 466 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. I'm happy to announce that Charlie Green, Chief Operating and Technical Officer at PowerCast, is joining me today. Charlie and I are talking all about how PowerCast is powering new avenues of innovation with their RF energy harvesting and wireless power. We're digging into the details of some super cool new designs that utilize PowerCast technologies, including 3D printable discrete wearables for at-home medical monitoring, diagnosis, and athletic training, a robotic autonomous price-changing system, an over-the-air wireless charging grip for Nintendo Joy-Con controllers, and more. So without further ado, let's bring in Charlie. Hi, Charlie. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so first up, for my audience who may not know, what is PowerCast all about?
PowerCast is the leader in RF wireless power. And what RF wireless power is power over distance. So some of your listeners are probably familiar with the Qi technology, and that's spelled QI. That's the technology that's in our mobile phones that allows us to do wireless recharging. The limitation with Qi is it's really contact-based. You have to set your phone directly on a pad. Where the PowerCast technology, which is based on RF, it allows you to do power over distance. So it's not as powerful as Qi, but it gives you the ability to go farther away from that transmitter unit. So basically how it works is there's a transmitter. That transmitter generates an RF field. That RF field is very similar to how your cellular phone communicates up with one of the towers. It also puts off an RF field. And that transmitter sends that field over distance, and then we make a semiconductor chip that connects to an antenna and very efficiently pulls that energy out of the air, converts it into usable direct current, and that DC can be used to either recharge batteries or power electronics directly in some cases. So in looking at the technology, we kind of break it into two different buckets, one being wireless charging. And that's where we have a dedicated transmitter. And the purpose of that transmitter is to send energy to a device to recharge its batteries. So in a lot of the consumer electronics applications, that's what we're going to be doing, where we might have a desktop or a countertop transmitter. And then you're putting devices down in front of that to recharge from that transmitter. The other category is what we call RF harvesting. So the transmitter doesn't have to be a dedicated source solely for power. It could be another source of RF as long as the source is strong enough. So we do a lot in RFID, which is radio frequency identification, where there's already a transmitter out there to basically identify tags that might be present. It's very similar to when you walk out of a retail location and the alarm goes off, right? It's communicating with a tag that's on the product. Very similar to that. We can take advantage of those transmitters that already exist and harvest energy from them as well. So even things like Wi-Fi routers and even your mobile phone puts out enough RF that we can capture energy from that. So in a lot of low power applications and sensor applications, that can be very advantageous to not have a dedicated transmitter. When you look at it from a consumer electronics perspective, the things we're really looking at are your mobile, your computer peripherals, your kind of your entertainment peripherals. So things like your keyboards, your mice, your game controllers, earbuds, smart cards, remote controls, and even some personal care items like your electronic toothbrushes and things. So a lot of different applications can be used with the technology.
Okay, so speaking of consumer electronics, at CES this year, you guys showcased a bunch of new battery-less devices that are powered by your RF-based long-range over-air wireless power technology. So let's talk about each of those. Now, first up, the 3D printable discrete wearables for at-home medical monitoring. Now, this device was created by a team of researchers at the University of Arizona, right? Tell me more about how these wearables work.
Yeah, I guess to give you a little bit more detail, every year at CES, we try to pull in a partner that's in a new, unique space, something that's more futuristic, so people can understand that we have these products today, and these are the things that are on the market, but this is long-term where it could really go. And in the past, we've partnered with people like Liquid X, and we had a shirt that had antennas built into the shirt, and the antennas were printed on the fabric, which was amazing. Well, this year we decided to partner with the University of Arizona, who has a really unique sensor platform that they've developed. And the uniqueness is it's 3D printed. Basically, they take a scan of the arm or the leg of the person, and they can 3D print a sensor solution that's customized directly to their build. It kind of looks like an armband, but it's a mesh. So it's very slim and lightweight and conforms directly to the body. And then they integrate sensors into that device to monitor different types of things. They can look at the muscles and how they're contracting and flexing during exercise. They can look at the movement of the arms and the legs as the user is doing whatever they might be doing. The PowerCast technology comes in the fact that because it's so thin, so lightweight and small, having the ability to harvest and wirelessly charge that device remotely is of great interest. So this particular device is kind of being used in three different areas right now. One being exercise, where you can imagine you have an athlete who's going through some type of training and they want to monitor the various parameters of the body, the muscle movements, the temperatures and things live during that training. Also, they're using it for diagnosing certain diseases at home that are hard to pinpoint. So instead of going to the doctor's office and sitting there for hours and hours while they gather data, they can actually do that in your home by having a dedicated PowerCast transmitter near the person as they're just doing their day-to-day activities, taking all that data live. And it really allows them to look more into what's happening with that person and help them diagnose those particular diseases. On the disease side, also, they're looking at continued monitoring. So if somebody is diagnosed and are at home, they can look at the progression of the disease and how are things changing. And again, it doesn't require a lot of visits to the doctor's office. So really interesting application. We're glad to be involved. We're just a small piece of it in providing the power to the sensor platform, but very interesting technology. And we were glad to have it at CES this year.
That's super cool. Now, you guys also worked with Badger Technologies on a battery-less ESL-based robotic autonomous price-changing system. So tell me more about this. And this system uses PowerCast's RF to direct current power harvesting technology, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And a lot of these names seem to be a bit of a mouthful.
They are.
But yeah, so we partner with Badger Technologies to show this prototype at CES of a battery-free electronic shelf label, or ESL for short. So ESLs are a great technology, and you're starting to see them pop up more and more in the United States at different retailers. They're much bigger in Europe right now, but they're coming here to the United States. And the big problem with those tags is that they have a battery today. And the more you update the screen wirelessly, over communicating wirelessly, the quicker that battery dies. And if you're a large retailer, you have to think through the maintenance and the labor aspect of what do I do when these all start to die, all these batteries start to die, right? I have to go back and change them all out and reassociate them to the products. It's a huge labor and cost associated with the tag. And then there's also the green message that goes along with it as well. If I'm every 4 years throwing away millions or even billions of batteries, you start thinking about every price tag everywhere having one of these, it's billions of batteries. That's a lot of batteries in the landfill. So what we did was we wanted to create a solution that eliminated the battery maintenance and the battery altogether. So we started looking at how can we use our wireless power technology to do that. We looked through a couple different use cases, one being where we had fixed infrastructure. That infrastructure might be on the ceilings inside of a retail setting. We also looked at handheld scanners, where you could have an associate walk around and basically interrogate the tag and communicate with the tag. We kind of settled on the robotic solution because we started seeing these robots appearing in stores, and they're doing a lot of very unique things, like looking at, is their product on the shelf? Do we need to restock a particular product? Are the planograms being followed for that particular brand? They're doing spill detection to make sure people don't slip and fall in the stores. They're also doing price checking to make sure that the associates that were supposed to go around with the paper tags and update them actually did that, or the sale tags didn't fall off because somebody knocked them off the shelf. They're doing things like that. Well, these robots are already roaming around the store doing these various tasks. So we partnered with Badger to say, okay, well, let's put our RF transmitters on the robot as well. And as it's going around the store doing all the things it's already doing, we can update the pricing on these electronic tags without the need to send an associate around. And you really have this ideal employee, which is a robot, wandering around the store all day, every day, doing various different tasks. And that's kind of how we got to that particular solution, which was very well received at CES. It's very neat to watch it. There's actually some online video on YouTube that you can see that live in action. So it's pretty neat to watch the robot go by and update the pricing.
That's super cool. Now, in 2020, you guys released a wirelessly powered temperature scanning system. Now, this system is intended to monitor employee temperatures, right? Can you tell me a bit about how that works?
Yeah, so where this came from is early in the pandemic, we were trying to figure out how to get back into the office. And if you remember early on, it was a lot of it was temperature scanning to make sure people don't have fevers. And we had already had we called our PCT RFID platform, which is basically an RFID platform with sensors inside. And we looked at that platform and said, hey, we can take that platform, expand upon it, add IR thermal sensor to that platform, and actually be able to issue all of our staff basically key fobs that allowed them to do their own scanning. Because part of the problem was the early solutions where you come through the front door and you pick up a thermal scanner and you scan your forehead, and then they had a paper log
right. That
you'd write it down. Okay, so I just touched a thermal scanner and a pen that everyone else touched. So
yeah. It
didn't make much sense to us. So we wanted to do something a little bit unique. So we took our existing platform and added the ability to do that basically forehead temperature scanning when our staff got into the building. So, but that's not all the platform can do. It can do a lot of other things too. It can do access control because it's based on UHF RFID. Our front door can unlock from that fob being in close proximity. So instead of normal key fobs, where you need to take them out of your pocket and actually touch them to the pad, you could be within a couple feet of the door and it'll automatically unlock. Makes it much easier. Walk through the front door, you can do the thermal scan to make sure you're not running a fever. And then it's also able to do contact tracing around the building because it's UHF based. So it's in your pocket, you're wandering around, and readers around the building can monitor your location and put timestamps on those. So we can see what employees might have been in contact with other employees and for how long. And the other interesting thing with the platform is it's not just those particular features and functions. We can add other functions and features to that tag to be able to do environmental monitoring. So there's a big push right now in HVAC control to try to not just drive the temperature in a particular room to a particular set point, but it's to understand who's there, what are their preferences? Have they left the room? Should I adjust it to save energy? Mm-hmm. With a platform like this, we can start to add sensors and things to know who's there, uniquely who's there, how many people are there, and also then do control based on those readings.
That's super cool. Now, in 2020, you guys also released an over-the-air wireless charging grip for the Nintendo Joy-Con controllers. Now, as a big gamer myself, I have to know more about this.
Yes, for those that are familiar with the Switch platform, there are two little controllers, the Joy-Cons that come with it from Nintendo. And there's also a mechanical grip that you get. It's a little black holder that both the Joy-Cons snap into. And when you're done gaming, you have to unsnap those from this mechanical grip and put them back in the Switch console to recharge. Well, I have young kids and they don't do that.
Right.
So you end up with dead batteries and, mm-hmm. and unhappy children.
Yep.
Well, we looked at it and said, this is a great application for our technology. So what we did is we made our own grip. And what that grip does is it also holds the Joy-Con controllers, but inside this grip is our technology. And what it allows you to do is leave the Joy-Cons in the grip and simply set the full controller down near our transmitter, and it'll automatically start to recharge. Now, it is a relatively high power application because we're charging not only one battery, but actually two, because there's one in each Joy-Con.
Right.
So the range of this is going to be right around 6 inches from one of our transmitters. But the neat thing is you put the transmitter at the back of your entertainment stand. And when you're done gaming, you just throw your controller down, walk away, and the LED on the controller will start to blink to let you know that it's charging. And it blinks at different colors depending on how fast it's charging. And if you're a heavy gamer, you know you need to slide it closer. And if you're a light gamer, you can have it farther away. It is also a one-to-many technology that we have. So you can actually charge multiple controllers at the same time, setting them down in front of our transmitter. So it's a pretty cool product. And I've had mine, actually bought the first one off of Amazon. I've had mine for about 18 months and I haven't had to dock my Joy-Cons yet.
Wow.
So yeah, it's pretty fun to just be able to throw it down, walk away, because that step of hitting the button in the back, sliding it out and putting it into the console is a bit of a pain.
It is. All right. So where do you see these kind of wireless power solutions headed into the future? Big question there for you, Charlie.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about RF wireless power is it's a very horizontal technology. So it can go into many different end applications. And so we can get into many different markets. So if you look at like some of the products that are on the market today, we just talked about the grip for the Nintendo Joy-Con controllers. There's also a product called Tag from British Airways that uses our chip inside, actually harvest from RFID infrastructure in airports to enable some unique security features in the Tag. There's a Kookaburra smart ball. It's a smart cricket ball that allows you to monitor the speed, spin, acceleration, all kinds of different parameters of a cricket ball, either live in a match or during training. And obviously you can't put a USB-C connector on the side of a cricket ball, right? So No. If you want to be able to have a battery inside of that, you need a way to recharge. PowerCast technology sends RF into the ball, recharges the battery. So another great example of how we can enable new types of devices, not just things that are already in the market today, but new things that couldn't happen before with our technology. So in terms of where we kind of see this going, again, it's very much horizontal. So there's automotive applications, medical applications. I think the personal care area is going to be big. Things like your electronic toothbrushes, your shavers, your trimmers, your water picks, because I have these on my countertop at home in my bathroom and there's cords everywhere and they're always in the way. And with the PowerCast technology, we can eliminate those cords. It's a great example because it's one to many. So I can have one transmitter plugged into my outlet, and many things sitting on my countertop there being recharged. But really the sky's the limit with the technology. Any low power electronics devices that run on batteries today or run on low power are great candidates for RF wireless charging and RF harvesting.
Excellent. All right, Charlie, it's time for your off the cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, you get our standard off the cuff.
Okay.
So a lot of us can't have our favorite foods for one reason or another these days. Either it's lockdown, you can't get to that country. So Charlie, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if you need a passport to get there, it's on the other side of the country, what would you have?
Oh, that's a tough question. I'm always a fan of a good burrito. So I think if I had to pick right now, I would say, and probably a breakfast burrito. So I'm actually not a big breakfast eater. I almost never eat breakfast. But when we're in an area where there's like the Southwest and stuff where there are good breakfast burritos, that's always my go-to.
Nice. I'm a huge breakfast burrito fan any time of the day, like morning, night. Just fine. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Charlie. This was super cool.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, and it was great talking to you.
Before we go, over the years, I've gotten a number of questions related to my voiceover abilities. How did I get started? Where did I learn how to do it? Well, it all started when I was around 6 years old. Growing up, my stepdad, Michael, did voiceover for commercials in his free time. I would hear him practicing in the other room. Member, FDIC. Brought to you by... And a little later, he was also a disc jockey at KMHD here in Portland. Listening to my dad, whose moniker was Hurricane Michael when he was on the radio, was like no other. I can just see myself as a little kid listening to his voice through the living room speakers and thinking, wow, this is the coolest thing ever. He also did some commercials and had a small part in the movie Short Circuit. So, happy birthday, Dad. Thank you for inspiring me so long ago. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of January 28th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.